Connor's just this beautiful talent, and he's this young boy, and I saw him yesterday on doing that interview, and I know those were tough words for him because he's he chooses his words kindly, and those were tough words for him, and you just wanted to hold him, you know, as a mom. You're like, oh, it's, there's going to be brighter days. There's going to be brighter days, but are there going to be brighter days?
Well, I know that, sorry.
Good boy. There's a good boy.
About what's going on with the Edmonton Oilers. You know, I listen, on many a time, over the last 10 or 12 years, I've, you know, especially Taylor Hall, because Taylor Hall used to take the losses, I think. Him and Sam Gagne, I think, were probably two of the guys that took the losses as hard as anybody. And for sure, the motherly and or fatherly instinct to, you just want to give him a big hug and say it is going to be okay. And Connor, you know, I feel that way as well. He is not one to publicly air his concerns or thoughts. You know, like a lot of people have asked him about officiating and the treatment that he gets. And people certainly ask him a lot about the team and where it's going. And he's not that kind of guy. Like he internalizes, he deals with it, whether it be behind closed doors, whether it, you know, be to Kelly and Brian, his parents, or his brother Cameron, his agent Jeff Jackson, his teammates. But yeah, yesterday we saw a bit of a glimpse of just some of the stuff that he's going through. But listen, this kid he's a tough kid, and he's handled a lot during his career. He's generally come out, you know, with the sun shining and things going well, whether it take a week or a month or a year. He turned around the Erie franchise, and the belief was he would turn this franchise around. I think unlike basketball, where LeBron can play the entire game, Connor can win Art Ross trophies and Hart trophies, and there needs to be more. And so right now, Peter Chiarelli's the guy that, you know, people are pointing to and wondering about. I heard, you know, you talked about the Ryan Strowman, Spooner and Eberle, and I caught the beginning of the Taylor Hall. I mean, for sure, it's, you know, Elliot Friedman, I thought, put it best about the Taylor Hall trade. He said, as long as the Edmonton Oilers make the playoffs, people will be able to digest that trade. Right now they're probably not able to digest it, certainly not last year. But when Edmonton made the playoffs, I have to say, there wasn't a lot of talk about it because they were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But the last two season and two-thirds, and I know Adam Larson himself felt like he had not a very good game last game out. So there's lots of, you know, you can easily find the negativity and the bad stuff. What the Oilers have to look at is they still have some great talents on the team in McDavid, Draisaitl, and Nugent Hopkins.
They do. Yeah.
You know, they are only 3 points out of a playoff spot. You know, they won't be able to grab that prior to the break. They've only got one game left. But, you know, they just got to fight through it. And one of the – it's a pure blessing to have Connor McDavid on your team. You know, they won the lottery in more ways than one when they got Connor McDavid. But it puts pressure on the entire organization. And Peter Chiarelli was, you know, in training camp, said when you got Connor McDavid, people expect at minimum, you got to make the playoffs. So that's at minimum what everyone is expecting, and then see what happens if they get in or once they get in from there.
Yeah, it's interesting because, as you said, the Oilers are still in playoff contention, and every time we hear about them, it seems like the world is ending, and you're kind of close to the situation, Gene. Do you feel like there is dissension among the ranks in that change room, something that we might not see forward facing that made Connor make those comments?
Well, the thing is, you know, just to sort of put it in some, you know, because oftentimes, as you both know, we run the clip of the player responding to the question. The question was, you know, do you get a sense that these players aren't all together, that they're not, you know, pulling forward with the same ideas? And, you know, Connor said, no, I don't get that. I do think that we're together, but if there are players that feel like that, then of course they shouldn't be in the room. So it's another one of those sort of comments that you know, what else are you going to say, right? That's what he should say, but that's not what he's really ever said. So when it happens like it did yesterday under the circumstances that we're in or the team is in, then it certainly, you know, plays a lot. And that's the thing, you know, but the 3 points, like, you know, other teams that are in and around that area, you know, Vancouver's having an incredible year, and they're a little bit ahead of Edmonton, and it's all positive, and Elias Pettersson, and look at this team, and Jacob Markstrom's on a roll, and Edmonton's not too far back, and yet it's all, oh my goodness, you know, like, this is not going right, what's wrong, and how are we going to fix it? So what a difference a few points can make, and what a difference sort of the idea of where the organizations are. The Oilers are supposed to be a playoff team with chances to win the Cup. The Canucks, theoretically, were building towards being a playoff team. So the expectations have made the outside world feel a lot different about two teams that, in the standings anyways, aren't too far apart. But if you're a player, you know, you really do have to kind of shake off that negativity. Otherwise, you're just going to kind of play into it, and I'm not sure there's going to be a way to get out of it.
No, and I definitely understand what you mean about the narrative surrounding your team. That plays in big time as to the expectations and then the joy level when you win a game. If you're expected to win 9 games on the season and you hit 11 before All-Star break, it's all sunshine and rainbows. But what I don't understand about the Connor McDavid quote was that he had already answered the question and then added, if there are people in the change room, they need to go. And if that wasn't the context of the question and that wasn't asked, that just seems out of character for him.
Yeah, well, I here's what I think, and I think that I know about Connor McDavid, that if Connor McDavid were sitting in a room of hockey players that were on his team and he felt like number fill in the blank, was not in it to win it with the Oilers, I think Connor is the type of player that would somehow relay that message. Please don't think that I'm saying he's a tattletale. Not at all. But the way he is as a leader, as a person, how intense and competitive he is, I cannot see him sitting by and watching, you know, two or three or four players sort of half fill in the blanket and just going, okay, you know, I guess not much we can do about that. Somehow the message would be relayed. And not only Connor McDavid. I mean, I look at Milan Lucic, who sits right beside Connor McDavid. If, you know, if Lucic saw something that told him that this guy is not on board. I mean, you know, as much as the coaches are in there and their staff around, there are times, lots of times, it's just the players, and they really know what's going on in their room. So I don't believe that there are players like that. And if there are, especially after yesterday, I would think that management might, you know, touch base with Connor to sort of follow it up to see if he's seen anything that suggests there are players that need to be moved out because they're not, you know, they're wearing the Oiler jersey, but they might be more concerned on what's, you know, on the back, the name, than what's on the front, the crest.
The way I see it, Connor McDavid is going to be an amazing husband one day because he's the most tolerant, patient man. And, you know, so you come here to Toronto and you see Matthews, and last year, you know, he's not playing the time that he wants on the power play or whatever, and things aren't going that right. And then he has this, you know, head-to-head with Babcock that we don't really know about, but clearly there was some, you know, some soul-searching on both parts. Okay, so we hear that Matthews is angry. Things have to be repaired behind closed doors. We don't know the true story. But then you have Connor over here who always says the right thing, and he's so patient and he's so tolerant. And why hasn't he gone into the GM's office and said, like, find me a surrounding cast. Find me someone as fast as I am, someone as creative as I am, and get him here. Because I know that those season tickets are up for grabs right about now, and those luxury boxes that come up every 3 years are, that's coming out right now too. So when does he lose his mind and go in there and be like, just like, when are we doing this? When is something going to be done? Like, is he that guy ever?
Well, I don't know. He's such a good guy, and I just don't know that he's the type to go in and say, you know, I'm tired of changing lines and line mates. I'm tired of us, you know, not winning. I'm tired, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to say he does or doesn't feel that way. I'm sure there is some feeling like that, but he may not have reached the point where he feels like he's going to do that. And I don't know if he does, you know, reach that point. I think that Connor's the guy you know, he's just such a team first guy for the fact he's a superstar. I've, you know, been lucky enough to cover through my career some different superstars in different sports. And he really is all about the team. And when people say, you know, sometimes you hear players say, well, I don't care about the hat trick. I would have been felt better if the team won. Like, he really is that guy. Like, he would rather see the team be victorious and give up whatever personal success that he has in order for the team to be better. Yes, I think every natural human being would feel like, why hasn't he gone in there and said whatever it is that he feels like he needs to say? But I just, you know, if he is going to do that, it would be in a quiet meeting with the coach, you know, with the general manager, maybe with his own people to sort of, you know, I just don't think he wants to look like he's a complainer. And even though we would not consider it that, we would consider it him saying, we need to be better. I think we can be better. Let's get this done. But I just don't know if that's his personality to sort of come across like that, even though I do know that he cares a ton about the team and about success and, you know, about the city too. I think he's kind of found his way here. And I do think that he likes Edmonton and living here and being here. But it's all tied into hockey. That's why he's here, and he wants to have success with it.
Well, maybe not help on the offensive end, but Klefbom making a return, Sakara making a return soon. So hopefully the Oilers, for their fans, will kind of get on the straight and narrow, even though they've been a little bit up and down this season. But I'm wondering your thoughts, not necessarily on the Ryan Spooner waving, more Ty Ratty. We had kind of talked about this with Mark Spector earlier when Hitchcock became the interim coach for the Oilers, just because Ratty couldn't seem to crack his lineup when they were in St. Louis, and now they find him on waivers. What do you make of this move? Do you think is it something that you agree with, or do you think it's more strategic on their end?
Well, I mean, you know, Ty was with St. Louis when Ken was there, and when Ken did say that, you know, that was a few years ago, wasn't last season, and so he explained to us, the public, the media, that, you know, Ty had another shot. I don't know. The one thing I'm thinking about as a coach, if Ken Hitchcock believed that Ty Ratty could help his team win, mm-hmm. why would he not put him in the lineup, right? And I know sometimes people say a coach is a blind spot for a player, that they have certain players that no matter what that player tries to do, he sort of can't win over the coach's confidence. I don't know that to be the case. Ty is like an incredibly nice kid who really wants to succeed, who really wants to help this team, who for a time was on, you know, the number one line. Ken has had a tendency with not as much success as he would like, both offensively and as a team, to juggle lines. So, you know, Ty hasn't found a spot to stay. So it's difficult to say what the purpose is, but I just always go back to, if this guy can help us, why is he not playing? And I just think that, If Ken felt like Ty could help right now, tonight against Detroit, that he would be here and he would be in the lineup. You know, Spooner is a bit of a different scenario. He, again, though, was sort of run back and forth with different lines and had been a healthy scratch. I don't know. That one's a little more of a mystery to me. I don't know why he didn't find traction. Good kid. Came here excited about, listen, you got a chance to play either with Connor McDavid, potentially Leon Draisaitl, or Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Those are three darn good centermen. If you have a chance to play with one of those three guys, you're in a pretty good situation. So I don't know why that didn't work out, but it obviously gained, you know, lots of attention because of when you backtrack to how he got here and the moves that were made for Spooner to be here. Suddenly a guy like him getting waived, you know, gains and garners a lot more attention than it might normally.
I know we don't have a lot of time here, maybe 20 seconds, but just your thoughts on the Oilers signing Mikko Koskinen over Cam Talbot.
Interesting. Says a lot. Mm-hmm. Makes a commitment to a guy who, you know, came over and took a chance and wanted to see if he could make it in the NHL. I sound like a broken record. I sound like a dad, but Cam is one of the nicest people you're ever going to meet.
He was
argumentatively could have been the MVP when the Oilers made the playoffs a couple of years ago. set a franchise record for wins, surpassing Grant Fuhr. So it does leave it somewhat in limbo what the Oilers are going to do with him. But they had to, at some point, make a choice between the two. And I know I'm out of 20 seconds, and it looks like they made their choice.